Kevin Blackstone, Courtney Cronin, Tim Kalishaw, George Sedano. Best win week 12, the Jacksonville Jaguars. But Jackson DeVille,
who are you wearing?
Also, best playing hurt this week, a tie between Sean McVay and A.J. Brown. But the story of the week, biggest hat, maybe it was Brian Robinson, biggest hat, on the list of all-time hat. You got Lincoln, you got Brian Robinson, and you got Turd Ferguson. Noggin boss, prepare. You're about to have a moment with that big hat. Let's go.
Take that hat off.
We have Kevin.
We start with the best statistical performance by any quarterback in any offense in week 12. Mike White and the New York Jets, 315-3 in the rout of Chicago. Robert Saleh said White made the offense, quote, look easy, end quote. Saleh's move to bench Zach Wilson and go with White, proving prescient, like someone who's known to keep receipts and then is audited. Everything worked out well for Robert Saleh and the Jets here. Courtney Cronin, you covered this game. How real was White? And can the Jets hang on to the last wild card spot with their QB situation as is?
He's real enough, Tony, where the Jets should continue to ride him for as long as they can. As you mentioned, those numbers, 3 passing touchdowns, 315 yards. What stood out to me the most was the tight window throws that he was able to fit to receivers who weren't involved in this passing attack for quite some time with Zach Wilson, namely Elijah Moore. And when you have these positive vibes coming out of a locker room where guys are talking about the offense feeling rejuvenated and that this is what New York Jets football should look like, I think you got to ride that hot hand a little bit longer. He got the ball out of his hand about a second faster than Zach Wilson. He was reading defenses faster. Overall, the operation looked good, and this is what the Jets wanted. They said in the offseason they expected to be playing meaningful games in December, so why get off the winning horse when you can right now? Robert Saleh did a smart thing last week, leaving that window open for the benching of Zach Wilson to be more than just for week 12. I think this goes beyond week 13.
Tim Kalishaw, you heard the coach say the offense looked easy. What does that mean?
It means it looked very different from what we've seen lately. You know, I said last week after getting beat up by New England, I thought maybe Zach Wilson deserved a chance against Chicago. Not very good on defense. Traded some of its better players on defense. But more important than what I said, believe it or not, is the feelings of those players. And you heard them talking a week ago, and you heard them talking after this game. And they're at practice, and they can see it. If Zach Wilson is not giving him a chance to win and anybody else can, and especially Mike White, then you've got to make that change. This isn't a 3-8 team. This is, as you said, a team with real playoff hopes. You got to play your best guy, and that's clearly Mike White.
George Sedano, you don't see a playoff team make a quarterback change in November or December often. What do we have with the Jets here?
We have the pride of Pembroke Pines, Florida, in Mike White, Tony Reale, a South Florida kid, helping the Jets. I mean, this is a weird scenario, but the Jets fans have been pining for him for a while. This isn't the first time they've pined for Mike White. And here's the deal. Mike White, 3 touchdowns, 75% completion percentage, over 11 yards per attempt. You know what those things are? All things that Zach Wilson has yet to do this season. So I think that that, to me, is as important as anything. They just look like a competent team and a competent offense with weapons that we all assumed would help Zach Wilson. But Zach Wilson was someone that we look back at his college days. He's kind of a one-year wonder, Tony, at this point. I don't know how much was expected of someone who ran the type of system he ran at BYU to have that kind of success.
You don't know how much was expected. He was drafted number 2 overall. Kevin Blackstone, I'll bring you in here. I mean, is this a clean sweep? It's Mike White's team now?
Absolutely. Since George is talking about pine, break out the pine saw and clean it all up. Send him to the pine. That would be Zach Wilson to stay.
Thank you.
Look, it's a 20-game sample size with Zach Wilson. It's an 8-game sample size with White. But that sample size that he has right there in those 8 games, He's far more superior, far more efficient than everything that Zach Wilson has done in those 20 games. Talk about the momentum that he put up there. Also, talk about the fact that he managed this game in those particular conditions. When you would think he'd just be stuffing the ball in somebody's mm-hmm. belly. Okay. No, he's throwing the ball downtown. He's making accurate passes. He gives them an opportunity.
And I think I have six games for White, not eight games.
Six
so
games.
You're already looking forward a bit. Cordy Cronin, last word at
Two
the
more.
Board.
I mean, this is the best the Jets offense has looked in years in terms of yards per play, yards yeah. per pass attempt, third down conversion. I will give you some context, though. The Chicago Bears defense is not very good this year, and they were incredibly undermanned on the back half of it yesterday. We'll be able to, I guess, see which Mike White, if the real Mike White stands up against Minnesota and Buffalo in coming weeks, assuming he's still the starter.
We've been horned. We'll move on. In the last 30 years of NFL football, since they went with the two-point rule, there have been two last two-minute touchdowns and two-point conversions to win a game. That was until yesterday. We had two within 3 hours of each other. Chargers unchargering. Cardinals cardinaling. Jaguars over the Ravens. Trevor Lawrence led the perfect drive and got the two-point conversion perfectly. But there was still time left for Tucker at the end. And that field goal looked so good, but it was 5 yards short. He was kicking it from 67. Tim, what result means most?
I think for maybe 2024, it's Trevor Lawrence stepping up and doing what he did. Mm-hmm. But for
okay.
now,
that's fine.
It's the Chargers coming back and not doing Charger-like things, not finding ways to lose. That team with Justin Herbert is always close to finishing the job. They're always close to beating the Chiefs. And it doesn't happen. And I know this is just the Cardinals, but they were behind them all day, and this was looked like a loss that would pretty much take them out of the playoff hunt. And they got it done. They went for two. They did that. He's done it all year. Keenan Allen's really just played two games. Mike Williams has played about half the season. So he's done it with backups. If they ever get a little more healthy, I think the Chargers can, in fact, be a threat in the playoffs.
Coach Dano.
Tony, I'm agreeing with Kalashaw here. I think that this is a great moment for Trevor Lawrence and the Jags, but this is just the beginning for them. They still have a long way to go. This is about Justin Herbert and those Chargers. Unfortunately, though, I don't know how healthy they can actually get, because if you look at a lot of the guys that are on the shelf, not very many of them, I believe, will come back to be able to have an instant impact this coming season. But you look at him, 10th career fourth quarter comeback. And look at this last comeback. 1:48 to go. He's down six. And he goes 7 for 8 and then gets the two-point conversion, or check that, down 7, and gets the two-point conversion for the victory. Justin Herbert is as good as any quarterback we've seen at this stage through three seasons in the history of the NFL. Only Dan Marino has more touchdown passes than him through this point in his career. That goes to show you how good this kid is. If the Chargers could stop chargering and using that verb on the internet for us, they could actually have someone that could eventually break that Charger curse and maybe get a
championship. I feel like that stat you gave, that only Marino has more touchdown passes, it said a lot. He gets a win at the end is not said as often. Kevin Blackiston, I'll bring you in here on the result of those two games with the two-point conversions.
Yeah, I've got to go with the Chargers as well, just because if they had lost that, they've got a tough schedule at them that would get even tougher with Miami and Tennessee mm-hmm. coming up after next week. That's a hard road to go down. So for them to come back like they did, to hold on to that victory is absolutely huge. And it really is kind of emblematic of what they're going to have to do the rest of the year. Now they can actually see that playoff spot. They can reach it, but they've got to play just like they did. It's going to mean coming back. It's going to mean not making mistakes, and Herbert's going to have to lead them.
Cordy Cronin.
Yeah, I mean, our analytics agreed with Brandon Staley's decision to go for the two-point conversion just barely. It was 45.6% for the two-point conversion versus 45.2% for kicking the field goal. But at that point, for the PAT, but at that point, like, he realizes that his offense is struggling. So reading, it's more than just analytics. It's more than just being aggressive. It's taking the temperature of your team and being able to operate off of that. But for me, by and large, this Ravens team has not learned its lesson from earlier this season. This was their third loss mm-hmm. where they had been leading by multiple scores in the fourth quarter. It cannot always just come down to Justin Tucker saving the
day. And that's what I want to, George, the Ravens have lost games in all sorts of different ways, but they've lost games blowing leads and in this case not being able to stop Lawrence in the 2 minute drills. They're cause for concern here. You heard Lamar Jackson after the game. He was even vulgar responding to critics.
Tony, I would be upset too if I were him. There's too much on him if you look at that skill position set around him. And here's the thing. They've blown the third double-digit fourth-quarter lead in this season. That's the most in NFL history. I'd be upset too, especially if some rando is trying to tweet
and
about
Kalishaw.
My money.
About the time we started to say, hey, maybe the Ravens are going to win the North. The Bengals caught him yesterday. The Bengals have more home games left. The Bengals are going to win the North again.
One more story here. It is the wow stat and game of the weekend. There are walk-off touchdowns, and then there are run-off touchdowns. And Josh Jacobs, 86th of them. A 303 total yard game. It's 38th all-time when you count kick returners. But when you take kick returners out, it's 8th all-time for total yards in NFL history. So between that and what the Eagles did last night, the Eagles as a team ran for 363 yards. Could rushing be back in the NFL? George, on Jacob's big day, please.
Tony, it's a family motto, like Rod Tidwell used to say, show me the money. This man is a free agent, and he should be able to cash in. He had the 8th best day for a skill position player, wide receiver or running back, in regards to total yardage. Incredible day.
KB?
Absolutely should be back. And you know what? He should be back with the Raiders, though, George. What has he done that would make them go in another direction? He broke Marcus Allen's rookie rushing record with the team. He's been a Pro Bowler. He's come back from injury. He had 127 yards rushing in the wild card playoff last year. And now he does this for you. Come on, sign that guy.
I don't disagree with any of that, but it's a brand new front office, KB, so we'll figure out, are they pro pay running back, or are they going to go the route where they want to go cheaper and get somebody out of the draft? But this 2023 free agent running back class is stacked, so maybe it's a good thing that they declined to pick up his fifth year option so he can enter there and go and get paid.
And Tim Kalishaw.
The only thing Josh Jacobs has done wrong is grow older. That's not a crime, but NFL front offices look at it like it is for running backs. They'd rather go get a rookie. But that long run against Seattle, that looks like Bo Jackson just going the other direction.
Right, when you're making franchise records for the Raiders, right? Marcus Allen, Bo Jackson, that's a pretty good list to be. All right, coming up in Buy or Sell, do the best team in America plant a flag in Columbus, Ohio this weekend?
Better turf.
Around the Horn is presented by Bullet Frontier Whiskey. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Michigan planting the flag at the horseshoe. J.J. McCarthy, queen waving the fans off. Jim Harbaugh's finest hour, and Donovan Edwards just running over, then backing up the truck and running over the Buckeyes again all season long. You people. People of your ilk have waited for Michigan to be exposed. Nay, I say, they are the exposer. Ryan Day had to wear the Harbaugh insult about being born a third. More pressing, this report posted by Kyle Rowland. Two recruits from Ohio at the game Saturday committed to Michigan Saturday night. George, how seismic is Michigan over Ohio State, and how did it happen?
It's huge, Tony, and you mentioned it. It was Corum being out, and Donovan Edwards and J.J. McCarthy took complete control of that game from an offensive perspective. There's no doubt about that. And here's the other part of the equation. Ohio State had the revenge factor on their side. They were at home, and they were 9-point favorites in this game. This is a complete terrible look as Michigan took them to school.
Jim Kalish.
I might have been one of those people who thought last year's Michigan win was a one-year fluke in Ann Arbor, and they probably couldn't repeat it in Columbus. And they repeated the exact same game. They ran all over them. Ohio State cannot handle their running game. Their quarterback was great, and I think they'll play a lot better. First of all, they won't have to play Georgia right off the bat when they get into the playoff.
Courtney Cronin.
I think there was some arrogance here from Ohio State's defense, which entered this game with the 11th best pass defense in the country. They didn't think that J.J. McCarthy could beat them with his arm. And frankly, the Blake Corum injury might have been the best thing for Michigan in this game because it allowed them to capitalize on an area that Ohio State just wasn't expecting. And Donovan Edwards putting the dagger in this team, a 75-yard touchdown followed up by an 85-yard touchdown in the fourth quarter. Ohio State didn't know what hit them later.
Yeah, multiple daggers. That's like a Knives Out sequel. Kevin Blackstone, how about you?
But that came out of the sheath of one Sharon Moore, who was the offensive coordinator called a brilliant game. And let's not forget, this was not his job. Josh Gattis left suddenly and kind of in a stink to go to Miami, and he takes over this job, puts a linebacker in the game to throw a pass, and completes it for a major play in this game. Way to go, Sharon Moore.
Well, so is anybody willing to say right now the best team in the country planted a flag in Ohio on Saturday? KB, no. Courtney, no.
Nope,
no.
Georgia.
No.
Okay.
No.
Tim?
A lot closer than they were last year.
Yeah, Georgia's still the team.
We move on. Big hat. Look at the big hat. Everybody, look at the big hat. Brian Robinson said he was wearing this hat for a friend. What a friend Brian Robinson is. That's what you do when you love and appreciate somebody. So there was that, of course. And then there was this right here, something no team has ever done. In tribute and honor, Sean Taylor Day, a wire mannequin. The expectation was maybe a statue of the late great safety whose ferocity and play was singular and who died tragically defending his family in a home break-in, a wound clearly still felt by family and fans at yesterday's tribute. But there we are, a wire mannequin wearing Taylor's jersey. We've never seen that before. I say all this because on the field, this Washington team is winning. Tight win over Atlanta yesterday. They've won 6 of 7. And with Seattle's loss, they're now in position for the last wild card. But Kevin, this is your account. What do we have here with this team with so many different stories every week about them?
I'll just say this. It is no surprise or shock in Washington, D.C. that the front office would once again embarrass this city and embarrass the team that's playing for them. What is a surprise is that the team has found some way to play so well. You mentioned 6 of those 7 wins. You know what? 4 of those came on the road, Tony, not to mention the one against Philadelphia. So the team, you have to take your helmet off to them. They have put it all on the side, and they're playing great.
Courtney Cronin.
This is Washington's best record through 12 games since 2008. They're 7-5. They're very much in the hunt in the NFC East playoffs. Their next 2 games consecutively at New York and then at home against New York. They could put the Giants out of the postseason. So as much as we tell people to constantly focus on everything surrounding their franchise, the good and the bad, the on the field, the off the field, I say if you're a Commanders fan, just keep your eyes focused solely on what's going on the field because everything else off of it is an atrocity.
Jim Kalishaw.
Yeah, I think it's a good day to be a Commanders fan. There's millions of Dallas fans who have learned to focus on the field and not what they might think about the owner and the management and things going on there. This team is pretty good. They're better than the team that's right ahead of them, the Giants, and they're going to play them twice. The Commanders are going to the playoffs. Mm-hmm.
George Dano.
Tony, as someone who covered Sean Taylor in college at the University of Miami, that was disheartening to see what they did. I understand the intent, but the execution was terrible. In regards to the team, what they've shown is an incredible ability to compartmentalize and to be resilient, despite all the issues that have arisen this particular season with that particular franchise and even in previous seasons, but we'll stick to this one. And Ron Rivera should get Coach of the Year consideration because of it and this particular run. I know Brian Daboll was the sexy early pick. It may be Ron Rivera who people should be focusing on.
If you're honoring, again, a late great. He's not dead. He was tragically murdered. Defending his family, you're honoring that man. Yet the only thing you see is empty space and the team's jersey. It was like they were honoring themselves, not Sean Taylor. We've been Horn. We'll take a break right here. Sedano, Kalishaw. Thanks for your afternoon. Cronin and Blackstone. Showdown next.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Around the Horn is presented by Bullet Frontier Whiskey. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Another brutal Broncos loss. They've lost 7 of 8, and they had to work to get to 10 on the scoreboard yesterday. And cameras caught Mike Purcell of the defense getting heated in the vicinity of Russell Wilson of the offense. Both say they're on the same page now. Courtney, what book are they reading?
Whatever it is, I haven't read it. And of course, my mind wants to believe that Russell said, let's ride under his breath, and that's what caused the outburst. But I think Mike Purcell's frustrated because this is a defense that is the third best scoring defense in the NFL. They're doing their job.
Goodness. The offense Whatever is not. Book it is, Courtney, it should be banned from the way that they're playing. Finally, this year, they've lost by as many as double digits, headed in the wrong direction.
Showdown 2, Sparky versus Wilbur this weekend. Yes, rivalry weekend, and we got a mascot fight, Sparky and Wilbur. But check this out. After that, the camera technician panned over and caught the Arizona State touchdown perfectly framed. KB, please praise the camera tech.
Absolutely. You know, people behind the scenes don't get enough credit. In this case, this is outstanding work by the camera person, having the wherewithal to go from a fight to the real game. Should have gone back to the fight, too. I want to see if somebody got knocked out.
Nick Borgia, congratulations to you. This is what you go to journalism school for. I look forward to you working it around the horn.
There you go. See, that you want to give credit, you got to get the name. Nick Borgia, Arizona State student at the Great Cronkite program there. Courtney Cronin, 30 seconds of FaceTime.
Memories last forever. Thanksgiving leftovers do not. My personal statute of limitations goes up till Saturdays when you can eat leftovers. Beyond that, you run the risk of getting sick. So if you're still eating turkey, if you're still eating soggy dressing, if you're eating sweet potatoes, please do yourself a favor. Put them in the recycling bin and wait until next year.
Whoa, is anybody still eating? Does anybody go to Monday? Any of you guys go to Monday?
Absolutely not.
Pumpkin pie,
careful,
of course.
Courtney,
maybe for pie. I'm with pie. Warning you.
A special award. I showed the video earlier before of A.J. Brown, Eagles receiver. He was sick all week, lost 7 pounds. He ruptured the vessels in his eye, power vomiting, still played yesterday, and scored a touchdown. That's a football player.